Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. Great to have you here today. As we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday are Sundays in which we are able to talk a little bit about our global work. We call them Global Work Emphasis Sundays. So today and next week we'll be doing that, and then the following week on the 12th we'll be returning to our 2 Timothy series, which I hope you're enjoying. We're certainly enjoying working through it. I'd like to begin this morning with our core value that really talks about our heart for global work. If you're new to Living Waters, we have 7 core values that really help us navigate our way on a daily and a weekly basis in terms of the things that we believe God would have us deeply involved in. So this particular value is called the Great Commission, and it goes like this. We are a people who understand the church is not limited by its building or a street address. Our heart is to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of people, whether in our own neighborhoods or around the world. We are a people passionate about the gospel that has set us free. So that's a value that we hold dearly here at Living Waters. And of course, that value is from the Great Commission. It's developed from the very words of Jesus himself. And that Great Commission, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, goes like this. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the fact of the matter is simply this, you and I are called for a purpose that is greater than ourselves, a mission that through the lens of a transformed Jesus disciple sets our heart and our course on the same trajectory as Jesus himself. In short, you and I are compelled to love others as Jesus has loved us, and to invite them to experience the kind of love that we have experienced. We were never meant to hold on to this for ourselves. It is much bigger than just ourselves. And that trajectory, it really is a stretching trajectory. It's not always easy, but by faith, it launches us beyond the comfort of our community and to places and lives that have not yet been introduced to Jesus, to places and lives that have not yet tasted the life-giving properties of the living waters that Jesus spoke about as recorded in John chapter 7. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think he sums up the importance of our assignment in a series of pretty awesome questions, really, found in Romans chapter 10. He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? You know, that there is something about a spirit-led personal sharing of the good news message from a believer to someone who is not yet believing in Jesus. It's really about relationship. Jesus sees relationship as important. In fact, he sees it as vital to the sharing of the gospel. And I'm sure that, you know, there would be many things that Jesus could have done to share the gospel, but he has chosen to have the gospel shared by people like you and like me, broken people. Why is that? Well, because Jesus cherishes relationship. I mean, just consider the relationship that he is in the Trinity. It's a perfect example of the perfect relationship. Jesus loves relationship, and it is where love speaks the loudest, even if it is from broken to broken. You know, each year we explore a different theme that we think reflects the Lord's heart for our mission as a church to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those beyond. And so our theme verse this year comes from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's in the Old Testament. And the context of this verse is that it really, well, the backdrop really is Israel's disobedience. And Micah the prophet is laying before the people these salient points of what God requires of them. It's clear that God does not want empty religion. He's not interested in that. And he's not interested in sacrifices that have become meaningless to his people, not at all. So what does the Lord require of you, Micah asks? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. See, what God requires from his people is a heart that is after justice. He wants the Israelites to be compassionate. He wants them to love and to care for those who are around them. And he wants them to walk in true humility. In other words, to know that he is God and they are not. And he wants them just to walk by simple faith with him. Not to be so concerned about themselves. Well, you know, the words of Micah were written 700 years before Jesus. And, of course, they spoke into a particular historical context. But listen, God's values speak to us today. Absolutely they do. Justice, compassion, and a humble faith. They're to be the outworkings of love found in the hearts of people like you and me, believers in Jesus. And I think they really do characterize our Great Commission assignment, the way that we are to go forward. How it must grieve the heart of God to see so many of those created in his image living in poverty, living without even the most basic of human rights, living under desperate inequities between poor and rich. How it must grieve his heart that human trafficking is doing what it's doing all around the globe and even into our own city. The carnage of war, the thirst for power leaves millions upon millions upon millions of people without peace. And they wake up afraid of the day that dawns before them. The essentials of human life that we take for granted, you and I, like clean drinking water, nutritious food, appropriate shelter, those things that we wake up to every day. In much of the world, that is not a possibility. In fact, in much of the world, that's seen as a luxury. God's justice calls us to our best work to end these wrongs because they are wrong, bringing his light into the darkness of oppression, the darkness of inequality, the darkness of suffering. And God's compassion would have our hearts break for those who suffer and for those who live today without hope. See, his heart of mercy would have us never forget or set aside the needs of others so we can look after ourselves. See, God's heart of compassion should instead motivate us to action, because action without compassion is no compassion at all. No matter race, no matter religion, no matter orientation, we are called to love without bias and always with the promise of hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his great truth and his life and his light. We're called to love and extravagantly. You know, the sheer volume and the nature of the mission that is in front of us is staggering, to say the least. Just as it was when Jesus gave his followers a global assignment, and that was to make disciples of all nations. See, this is where the expression of humble faith changes that equation from this staggering piece for us to something that is actually possible. Because our God moves mountains. See, by faith, the early disciples who were facing overwhelming odds, they changed their world and ours. Not by their own power and not by their own might, but by making way for God to be God. And today, by faith, we as disciples of Christ, people like you and me, broken as we are, we're called to continue to share that good news, expressing God's heart for justice and compassion, and practically introducing the light of Christ, which shows the way out of darkness. And as with the early disciples, it's not something that we can accomplish on our own. Absolutely not. It is only by faith and only by humble obedience to the heart of God that we can accomplish the mission that he has asked us to accomplish. Really, when you look at it, each of the global workers that we are in relationship with, they, in their own way, walk out these good news essentials of justice, of compassion, and of faith. They work to see that those who are oppressed are given freedom in Christ, and those who are treated without dignity as less than human, that they are lifted from despair, and in fact, they are invited to be sons and daughters of God. That's their role. That's the call that God has placed on their lives. To reach people, whether they are born in as poor in the slums of Chennai, whether they are victims of human trafficking in Thailand or HIV patients in Malawi, God has called those global workers to be the light of Christ and to give the hope. So these 12 global workers that we're going to talk about in a few moments, they are a part of the assignment of this community. These are men and women and children who've committed their lives full-time to that great commission work. And listen, they're not far away figures, you know, that live somewhere on the other side of the world that we just sort of, you know, write a check to every month. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. They are an extension of our family. See, they're our family. And our support of these global workers, it's not just about financial support, it's relational support. We work on a model of cooperative, relational partnership. They are family. They're family for us. And in order for them to do the work of God that they are called to, they've got to be sent. And they require senders to be sent. And those senders are you and I. That's the way it's to be. We're to be the senders. And that is for us a privilege, frankly, as well as a deep responsibility that we have. A deep responsibility. Now, everybody hopefully has got a card that we left on the seat. If you've got that, just pick it up, would you? Because that card really provides some of the profiles of some of the of all of the global workers that we support, the locations that they're at. Now, listen, you're going to see that some of those global workers are international global workers, the majority of them, and some of them are national global workers, meaning that they have responsibilities nationally but reach out around the globe. You'll also know that three of those global workers are noted as serving in restricted access nations. And so these would be countries in which Christianity is not welcomed or there is a low tolerance for its practice. And so we just think it's best and safe not to identify them too fully. And in fact, this message, the rest of this message, isn't going to be podcasted for that reason. We need to protect them.